Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for our weekly conversation with SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. And today he joins us with a story of a love story, really, but with a tragic ending. Kevin, welcome back to In the Moment.
Well, it's good to be back. And I suppose I might be the only one that's focusing on the love story part of this too much, but and I don't want to overstate it, but this really did seem to be quite a relationship. And I think sometimes, when we cover something like a tragic death of a couple of people, we look, and especially when it's followed by a certain amount of controversy about why they died, I think we forget certain things possibly. And I wanted to come back to this because I've seen people downtown among our homeless population, man and a woman, in terrible situations from time, walking, holding hands, seeming to be completely in love and in joy with each other in the most dire and, insurmountable seeming circumstances. These two folks were sort of in that. So that's kind of what I want to look at a little bit here.
We'll bring everyone else into the conversation. If you aren't aware, we're talking about Connie Rednest and Ernie Evans, and they were homeless at the time of their death. They died and were found by police in February. I'm not sure. I don't have the exact date in front of me. Early February, died of exposure. And caused some controversy because they had been at a pop-up warming shelter the night before. And Chief Carl Jagaris was on this program on February 12th, which was about a week later, really laying some of the blame on what happened to this sort of concept of individuals and churches, faith groups, welcoming people in without understanding what the best practices are. So that's the big picture. And then Kevin has this really look at who these people were. And then you talked with, Kathy, that's it, Kathy Davis. So give me a little bit about who Kathy Davis is and what role she plays in this entire story.
Well, she's kind of you hesitate to call people local activists for the homeless, but I think it's kind of what she is, that she started a biscuits and gravy program that other people volunteer for, to take biscuits and gravy breakfast to people down, often along the Rapid Creek area and down along where homeless folks tend to travel and concentrate, and provide some of those kinds of, not long-term or not life-changing services, but certainly attitude-changing and lifting. And then she got into these pop-up shelters, these temporary overnight shelters, with about three or four churches that would help out. And just on a cold night, a dangerous night, when there were people that couldn't get into, for example, the Cornerstone Rescue Mission because of you can't go there drunk and disorderly and get in, and they have standards for what they'll accept, and they're packed usually too anyway, or to the detox center, city detox center, or the emergency room, for whatever reason you might go there, or jail. And there are people that may not work out in any of those. Her argument is, if the detox is full and they're not, haven't committed a crime and they aren't medically in need, and this could save lives. And Carl Jagaris and some other city officials have concerns about that.
Right. There are some differences of how this is seen, but the truth remains that this couple was definitely fondly thought of by various people in the community.
Yeah, and there was a fight after this, and I deal with some of the fight with Chief Jagaris, and, as you note on the program, he was concerned about whether or not having a place that you could go without having to sober up as you would at the detox center and without having a process to go through could put people out back into the weather that next night or that next morning and night and leave them vulnerable. And there was some controversy in the exchange between Kathy and Carl, and I dealt with that a little bit. I deal with that in this, but I wanted the overall point of this to be that these were people who loved each other, certainly as deeply as other couples in a better life situation love each other, and they lost their lives together in the same situation on the same night. And so I looked a little bit about who they were and talked to some people about how they related to other people, and
And even more than two people who loved each other, I think the beautiful thing about this piece is that they were people. And so anytime someone dies and, you know, there is any kind of controversy of policy or how services are given in a community, that can take center stage over the people themselves and who they were. So you really look at them as individuals and as a couple instead of just as, you know, a statistic or a reason to do something differently in a community.
Yeah, and I, you know, they were people, as I talked to a couple of the homeless people struggling with addiction that were at the Hope Center, you know, a warming center downtown during the day that provides services and hygiene products and things like that. Yesterday, you know, just talked about how wonderful they are and how people look forward to seeing them and having them show up. And you know, Ernie and Connie were trying to get it straight. They were, you know, they were both badly addicted, bad alcoholics. Tried to stay in a home, but would get thrown out because of their alcoholism, and were trying to figure out a way to sober up. You know, both in their 50s, they'd been together for many years, had kids and grandkids, and had lives, and just like all the rest of us have lives and problems. And you know that what I hope to do with the column is to point at the people that I see downtown every day, like them, that were just people. You know, doing their life things, and that those life things include loving other people and with real love. You know, that's certainly everything I've heard is that Connie and Ernie had that real love and senses of humor and, you know, worries about their kids and grandkids just like anybody else does.
So solutions in Rapid City to this problem are, you know, you hear people speaking about it, you know, all the time. How far off or are real solutions, do you think?
Well, I think the center, the restoration center that they're talking about opening, last I checked, it was still pretty much on target for sometime in the first half of this year, late spring maybe or early summer. I really think by consolidating services, providing more beds, providing more services at one point downtown across from the courthouse, an area that can be easily monitored, and an area where lots and lots of these homeless and addicted people concentrate anyway, I think that's a big part of it. And then, there, as you know, they're talking about an additional service there with a transformation-type center that would help take folks that want to try onto to a better place in their lives. And I really think we're doing something that is going to be kind of precedent-setting in a lot of ways for this region of the country. It's been done elsewhere, but it's a progressive, thoughtful thing. It's not without controversy because people down in that area don't necessarily want it there, and they fear that it'll attract people, you know, that'll come to the center and we'll have more homeless. But I think it's an important solution. But Kathy Davis would point out it may not be the end solution because people have to use that. And if they don't use it on a potentially fatal night, where will they be?
Hmm. As you listened to her, yeah, right. When I talked to Chief Jegeris, he said, you know, if you have a heart for this, volunteer at the detox center,
yeah.
Volunteer at some of these places that already exist. What was her response to that as far as, you know, taking the energy that she and others have and you know, putting into existing services versus doing things on her own, which are not illegal?
Yeah, and she points that out. They're not illegal, and they've got good-hearted, well-intended church people that are trying to provide a service that they don't think is provided. Now, maybe it will be provided as this new center and the services come online. But, you know, I think her argument would be that we're getting better at what we do all the time, and maybe we can, as a, you know, a small nonprofit full of volunteers, maybe we can continue to fill a need that even with the new programs and facilities won't be met. You know, she points to 200 people over 6 weeks that have used these various warming centers, and only three have had to be removed because of problems. And, you know, she just says we're continuing to figure this out and get more support. So I don't think she feels like backing off right now. And I know Chief Jegeris is very, very sincere in his concerns. And, you know, we're going to have to see where it goes because they both are fairly strong-willed.
Kevin? Is that a good thing? That sort of back and forth dynamic. Does that kind of keep the energy flowing and keep people talking about it, or does it divide and make it harder to come to real progress in different areas? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd sure like to see them let their personalities be set aside and maybe let some of the things that have been said back and forth. You know, that's some pretty personal stuff when you say somebody may have contributed to the deaths of people that you consider to be your friends. I was surprised that Carl Jagers would say that, because he has never seemed to be the kind of guy that would come off and say something that you know, was pretty condemning in a lot of ways. And he just said he felt like he had to, because he was so upset by the loss of those lives and the fear that other lives could be lost, and that maybe this contributes to it. So, yeah. If they could tone
the emotions
down,
he said it was not time to sugarcoat it to me. So I just can't sugarcoat this. This is what it is.
He felt like that was his responsibility. Yeah. And I think maybe if they can both settle down a little bit on this, maybe they can find something that works for everybody. But it's not a sure thing, that's for sure.
Kevin Wooster in the blog. Yeah, right. As long as there's a need there and there's people who want to come at it from different angles and be part of the solution, the conversation goes on. So you can read about the love story between these two people who we lost in February on Kevin Wooster's blog on sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week when we are broadcasting live all week long from the Black Hills Bureau, so we get to see you in person.
I'll be in person. I'll have to put long pants on.
I look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. Yeah.